People always ask us here at the Grolic Saves the World, how do you come up with the episode ideas? Don't you ever run out of topics? And I only have one thing to say about that. It's Britney, bitch. We're getting big, our worries are mixed. They say if you live in a glass house, you should not throw stones. But if you live in a stone house, throw as much glass as you want, because that glass will just shatter against the stone. And it's your house. You're a homeowner. Worst case scenario, you just got to sweep up a lot of glass. And I think that's worth it, because breaking stuff is actually kind of fun. This is the Grolic Saves the World. My name's Adam Caton-Holland.
My name is Ben Roy.
And I'm Andrew Orbital.
And this is a comedy podcast about bettering your world. And normally, this is the part of the podcast where we
should talk about how you're apparently going through a Fred Durst phase.
Adam,
right
have
now.
You been reading the Bible?
Yeah. Fred Durst. Andrew goes, have you been reading the Bible?
That felt like a passage out of the Old Testament.
I have been skimming the Bible while listening to Limp Bizkit. And I'm putting that into the blender of my head. And then this is what's coming out of it.
The blender of my head, the Adam Caton-Holland story.
Well, no, that's the Limp Bizkit album. I'm listening to the blender of my head by Limp Bizkit.
Oh, it's right, the live right. album, rare B-sides right. and selections.
Oh, shit, I just thought of something. This is great. It's called, my religion's the New Testament, but it's NU.
Dude, crushed it. That was so, like, NU umlaut over it, right?
Exactly.
Like that.
It's the New Testament.
Yeah,
I'm listening to the New Testament.
Well done.
That was nicely played, and I didn't know where you were going, but now I like it.
Well, the point is, my New Testament pun was so good, it deflected the hatred you guys were going to throw at me because of the Adam's Pearl that I did up front. But I don't even have time for that, because we have an incredible guest this episode. It's a longtime friend of ours, first time on the pod. Please welcome Babs Gray.
Babs, what's happening? Welcome. How are you?
Hey, guys. I didn't know if I was like, oh, I should have asked them. I didn't know if I should jump into your hot riff sesh or not.
No, jump in. Babs, what do you got?
You listen.
No, I got nothing.
You're a devoted fan. You heard all our episodes of this pod, and you know,
yes,
up front,
that is true.
I do what's called an Adam's Pearl. I bring every time I start with an Adam's Pearl. So which one over, you know, the 100 episodes we've had has been your favorite Adam's Pearl?
Oh, as a it's big really fan. Tough. Yeah,
you
I just
you don't have to it, do
honestly
this
I can't I just can't choose.
That's a great answer. Great
it
answer.
Is hard to choose.
Because I tend to live my life by them.
Do you?
Yeah.
Like a lot of our listeners, so sort of consider those their North Star. And I'm glad that you're on board with that as well.
Exactly.
You don't have to placate Adam. I just want you to know, like, he's not really that important to this podcast. So, like, if you want to, like, shit on him or, like, make fun of him or tell him that he's stupid for what he said, it's okay. We'll back your play. Andrew and I will
okay,
back
thank
your
you.
Play because I
even with the New Testament
thing,
I felt like that was a nice little bow.
It was a nice little bow. It was everything before that and all the dog shit after that that I found to be a little bit uncomfortable and troubling.
Babs,
and kind of
we are wondering how you are doing as a person. Are you having a great spring break? You seem like a sort of Cozumel Senior Frogs type of person. Is that what you've been up to? Or
yeah, no, I am for sure. Getting lots of shots poured in my mouth from strangers.
Because you're cool.
Yeah, because I am cool. That's at the end of the day, I'm cool. Yeah, it's been a great spring break. Definitely something I celebrate as a 40-year-old. Spring break is, you know, important to me.
Has anybody in this group ever gone to a spring break?
Not even when I was had the true opportunity.
Producer Ron has.
He says he went to Cancun.
Cancun.
Gross. I have Ron's to confess, I went to Jamaica my senior year of college. I went to like Montego Bay. Jamaica.
Did you get the little braids?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Adam.
Adam, please do.
You did?
Yeah. Well, I didn't even go to a guy. I just started hacky sacking on the beach high, and they just popped out of my head. It just came out.
Oh, gotcha. you really went to Montego Bay?
I did with like a group of friends. It was like a cheap packaged spring break experience. Our accommodation.
Did you really
was
get
so
the braids?
Shitty. Say it again.
Did you really get the braids?
No, I did not get braids.
God damn it. I wanted this picture so bad. Oh,
it was awful.
I
it was so gross. It was so gross. But I'm proud of my friends and I were like, there doing the spring break thing, but they kept you in like a gated community. But every day we would get this taxi driver to the van and be like, take us out to like the grocery store in town so we don't have to buy this expensive shit. And we befriended this dude. And one night we're like, will you take us out to like real Jamaica shit? And he took us to this bar and there was a cool reggae band playing and it was awesome. And we were all getting fucked up. And he's like, you do not leave this bar. Literally do not walk outside of this bar. Oh, wow. And stay with me. And like dudes were like poking their heads in the windows, be like, hey, white boy, like, come on out here. Like, you want cocaine? And I was just like, my dude warned me, we're not doing any of that shit. And then he drove us back to our fucking safe tourist bullshit. But that was the only real experience. The rest was just spring break fucking idiocy.
How old were you?
He was 33.
I was a senior in college. So I was 34. I'd just gotten married.
Okay. You were going to Auraria, like, or Metro or something.
Yeah,
like,
I'm the creepy old guy auditing classes.
There's always that guy. Yeah.
He's like Rodney Dangerfield in the movie where he goes back to school.
Oh, God. That's
I think it's called
movie.
Back to School, literally.
That's a great movie. It's like a spring break movie, but they bring the like 48-year-old guy who's just the old guy in college.
Rodney Dangerfield. I don't know if I ever like got him. I think I need to like really watch, you know, go back and like watch some of his shows.
Oh, you
I don't
think there's more was like some context way. There's something you're missing to a Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah, I think it might go deeper than I
never thought he was very funny. And I was like, I guess I just don't get comedy or something.
I think it's like a generation. Yeah. It's like a different generation.
Yeah.
I think if any of us watched Back to School, we'd be horrified. Like, talk about, I'm sure that did not age well.
Oh, I don't even want to know what's in that. Oh, God.
I remember it not like coming out aged well. So I can only imagine what has happened now. But Babs, we didn't just come on this
to talk to you about
Rodney Dangerfield.
I thought that's what we were here for.
Welcome to the Danger Cast. It's all Dangerfield all the time.
Yeah, we just
hey yo, hey.
Andrew, yeah, wait, pause a second. Adam, I'm sorry. Andrew. Give me more of your Dangerfield.
That was kind of the full impression. I don't know what else.
No, it was so good. And it was
Andrew,
like,
do something
I was
about
there.
No respect. Do something about no respect. No respect.
I need to be able to like bulge my eyes out. He probably had a genuine like real life thyroid condition that was doing that. So it's probably not as funny as I'm making it seem. But his eyes were kind of like halfway out of his head all the time.
Welcome to Danger Cast.
So this is your impression. You just described him.
You know that guy smelled like lunch meats. Just looking at him, you're like, oh, man, I bet that guy smelled like fucking salami or mortadella or something. Ugh.
What an interesting choice.
I really am in love with the idea of the internet's only ambush Rodney Dangerfield podcast, where the guest does not know that's what they're here for. However, we are going to be talking about Rodney Dangerfield.
And it doesn't move well because a lot of the people they don't listen to Rodney. They've never
they don't know who the fuck we're even talking about.
And nor have we done the research.
Right. I knew that wasn't going to happen because I've listened to this podcast so many times.
That's right.
So I know that that's not what
Well, then check out this smooth transition. As a fan of this podcast, you know that it is about bettering the world, and we better our listeners' world, we better our worlds, we better any world we can. And you are someone who has some very real experience with that, in my opinion. From watching it from afar, I really think you did that profoundly. I don't know, most of our listeners may know this, but some of them may not. Babs, with your friend Tess Barker, basically helped Britney Spears's world. They, in my opinion, improved Britney Spears' world. And if the listener's saying, good, what?
Well,
guess
then
what?
You're going to have to stick around to the second act if you want to know how. This is what we call in the biz, in the Dangerfield biz, cliffhanger. You know what I mean? Like, you know, so we're.
So stick around.
This is really good, too, Ben.
Yeah, it all involves
stick
just
the second half.
I'm starting to have more respect for Rodney Dangerfield seeing how bad the impressions are. I'm like, I guess it was an art form because.
I tell you, I get no respect here. Come on. That was kind of.
That was good.
That was good.
All right.
You guys see, they are pulling at their neck of their sweatshirt.
That seems to be a common thing. You're like,
well, anyway, why don't we do this? We're going to take a quick break. We got to pay some bills with some ads. Also, if you are not subscribing to our Patreon page, you definitely have to do that. Lots of cool stuff.
It's called the Danger Zone.
Yeah.
Pics of Rodney getting out of the bath in a hotel in 1967. We got it all on the fucking...
Yeah, and the danger alert is at red right now. It is high because it's
hot.
Dry, so it's hot and dry. But yeah, so we're going to take a quick break, but when we return, Babs is going to tell us the story about how you and Tess improved Britney Spears' life. So stay tuned, everybody.
Hey, do you love the Grolic Saves the World, but are sad because you're not getting enough of it?
Boy, do I.
Well, great news. You can get all sorts of bonus content on our Patreon.
Like what?
Tell them, Ben.
Act 4. Ad-free episodes, birthday shoutouts, exclusive merch, stronger, more painful erections, our pod within a pod, boy crazy, decreased A1C levels, photos and videos, bonus content, and so much more.
Okay, I'll do it.
No, kick to me. Say, how do I do it? How do I sign up?
We're not trying to sell it to you, Andrew. You don't have to. Jesus.
Oh, well, I mean, it sounded good. Okay, how do I sign up then?
Fuck it.
You can sign up now by visiting patreon.com/Grolic Saves.
I do want to sign up.
I tell you what, I can't get no respect on this podcast. All right, let's.
We are back. We are still riffing on the Dangerfield podcast. It's we'll get one out there soon. We'll start that podcast. This is the Grolic Saves the World. You know it. You love it. We're here with Babs Gray, and I was awkwardly dancing around the subject up front to try to have a bit of a cliffhanger. But Babs, you helped champion the Free Britney movement.
Yes.
Now, I would like, if you don't mind, to give us a cliff notes for how that all went for you, for our listeners who may not be familiar with it at all.
Yeah, sure. It's definitely a wild story. So yeah, I'll try to tell a quick version. Basically, so me and my friend Tess Barker, who's also a comedian and podcaster, we were, now I'm going to be, I'm so bad with years and stuff. I think this was like 2018 or something.
My wife ran me through it last night with clinical accuracy, so I can help.
Okay,
I can fact check anything you want.
Okay, nice. Thanks. See, that's a terrible thing about being someone who's involved in something like this. I have the worst memory ever, so
it's
like people are gonna be like, you did the hugest thing, and I'll be like, I think I know what happened. But anyway, so we had been looking at Britney's post a lot, you know, and she was always posting things like weird memes and, you know, spinning in her living room, and memes that were like, let me shop and no one gets hurt. And we'd be like, haha, but wait, don't you have money? And we kind of decided to start a podcast about it as a joke. We called it Britney's Gram, and we would only look at her Instagram posts. That was the whole idea of the podcast, right? So we did the podcast as a comedy sort of podcast for like a year, but then we started really diving into her situation more. We were like, what is going on with this? What's a conservatorship? Conservatorship was where someone has no control over any of their own money or like a lot of their health decisions and things like that. And so we thought, well, that's weird. She still makes a lot of money. You know, she's been performing for years in this conservatorship. That seems odd. And so Tess, who has done investigative journalism work before, just kind of decided to take a deep dive. And honestly, I don't think we would be here without her. She just like became obsessed, basically. She started actually looking at the court documents. She started going to the court hearings. Like, and no one was there. It was just her, you know, and that's kind of where everything started really taking a turn into like a true crime podcast, basically.
It was very like fun and goofy for a while, right? It was just kind of like my wife was saying, you called Britney Spears' Instagram the happiest place on the internet.
Yes,
and you would just sort of like riff on it. And
yeah,
that was like
we were
fun
having so
and
much
what a silly
fun with it. And it was so silly.
Yeah, and you're comics and it's fun and silly. And then she told me, and I remember this, that the Instagram just like went dark, right? For like a week.
Yes.
And that was sort of like what is going on? Was that sort of the first like, oh wait, this isn't just silly. There's something sort of sinister happening here. Like when did you realize this is, there's more to this than we're thinking?
She basically, there was a few things that happened, but the biggest thing was that she was supposed to do a new residency in Vegas. And she posted announcing that she was not going to do the residency because she wanted to take care of her dad who was sick. And then she disappeared. And so we were like, what the fuck is going on? Like, it was just very strange, all of it. The announcement for the residency was super strange. She like looked like she was being held hostage. So we were like, this is bizarre. What's happening? And so we since she wasn't posting anything new, we had nothing new to talk about. So we just dove even deeper into, you know, the court documents. And then at the same time, one of her co-conservators asked for all this money and then he quit. And it was just a lot of weird shit going on. And so we just kind of kept saying, where's Britney? Where's Britney? Like, not even joking. They were like, are they like holding her up somewhere? What's going on? And then this weird cryptic post came up on her Instagram finally after being dark that was like, we all need to take time for a little me time. And we were like, what the fuck is this? And then we recorded the podcast and we're like, you know, we think she's being held somewhere. And basically the news then came out that she was in a mental health facility and that she'd been there for a few weeks, but we knew we were like, this seems longer. Then we got a whistleblower phone call. This is the biggest thing that happened. He called us and he said, you're on to something. You're right. Britney's been held in this facility for much longer than they said. She went against her will. And, you know, he indicated basically that there was a lot of like dark stuff happening and that we were like on the right path. So,
which is wild. That's so wild.
Yeah, it was crazy. Call.
Deep state.
Did you believe the whistleblower call at first, or were you like, is this like a prank from someone who's listening?
I should say, sorry, the most important thing was that he worked in a law office associated with Britney's conservatorship. So it wasn't just a rando, you know.
Cool. I'm sure Tess helped like vet that, right?
Okay, we took it really seriously and we were like, we have to vet this person and make sure, you know, it's legit and all that.
And one thing also that my wife told me was that this was on the heels of it was like a Vegas residency. She'd already done one, which is a massive cash cow for the Britney Spears machine. And she was going to announce a second one. And there was this big, like at the show is a big party. There was a guy who's going to interview her, and after posting that cryptic message you talked about, she came out at that thing and just walked off the stage and was like, fuck this.
I remember that. And that was like big news.
Winds up in the facility, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. It was like, you know, Mario Lopez was there. He was like, Britney, it was the biggest mess of all time. We watched it live. Oh my God, you guys, the video is incredible of it. Like, there's like, there's nothing happening for half an hour. Everyone's trying to vamp, and like Mario Lopez like introduces her by accident once, and then she finally comes up, and like she's got performers all around her. Like you think, okay, she's gonna sing. She just looks scared, walks down the stairs, and just leaves immediately. It's so awesome, bizarre. It's amazing.
Lopez is such a pro. He just goes, so here's some of my favorite Britney memories, and no one even minds. He just regales the entire
room. Is that
true? No, I'm just kidding.
He might as well have. Yeah, he didn't, but he was just like, Britney Spears! And then she just walked away. It was amazing.
Well, and I want to just interject this. Mario Lopez is a Brazilian jiu-jitsu blue belt, and that has helped his ability to move and pivot and change direction.
Okay,
that's a lot of that. Andrew, just stop for a second.
You have a sickness.
I think it's a lot of the reason why I'm so good at this. Anyway, continue, Babs.
Remember when you promised Babs how little you were going to talk during this?
I only said one thing. I just talked about
Mario Lopez. It does seem like a psyop, though. Like he's so good looking, and like I don't trust him fully. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
there's something I don't know.
So
I saw him in Toluca Lake at that breakfast place. I think they tore it down. I can't remember it, but it was a great
Sweet Salt.
No, it wasn't Sweet Salt. It was like an old '60s LA diner in Toluca Lake. It was fucking great. Oh, anyway, cool. I saw him there, and he looked like he was 21 years old. He's
insane.
Fantastic.
He's ageless.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's ageless.
He's a beautiful man.
Okay, so she's in a mental health facility for weeks at a time. You guys are like, you get the whistleblower call that's accurate or from at least a place of knowing. And what do you do next?
So we get the call and we're like, you know, freaking out because we vetted him and we're like, okay, this is legit. What do we do? And I don't think there's any question of like, we have to release it. We just had to figure out the best way to do it. And we tried to be like, are we gonna get sued? And our friends are like, well, if it's true, you can't get sued and whatever, you know. So we basically decided to release it in an episode called Free Britney, and we released it in the middle of the night because we figured if it like spread far enough, then they couldn't really get a, you know, make us take it down, which it worked. So we basically went to bed and woke up and it was like everywhere.
Viral, just all over the place.
Yeah, we made the pink graphic with like hashtag Free Britney in it. We were like hoping it would fill up everyone's feeds like Firefest tried to do with their like,
Yeah, totally, totally.
Thing. And yeah, it worked. And it was everywhere. And then like her mom liked a few comments that said Free Britney, and that like made everyone feel like, oh shit, like there's some truth here.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's kind of when there was like a few big like moments that, you know, made the public kind of see what was going on. That was the biggest first one that we were involved in. And so then we were like, you know, somebody was wearing like a Free Britney shirt the next day on the talk, and it was just kind of like really going off at that point. And some people were taking it seriously. You know, a lot of the fans like agreed because they knew there was something going on for a long time. Other people thought it was, you know, a conspiracy. So from that point on, it was kind of like it was in the news, but people were like not totally down with it yet, you know? And then,
and as it has been sort of the case for her whole career, I'm sure people were like, whatever, this is a joke, Free Britney.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure there was a tendency to dismiss it. It sounds silly, like that she would be imprisoned or whatever, but people don't know the extent of what was going on.
Exactly. It was about trying to communicate that, you know. I remember there were court hearings in her case like every month, basically, at the courthouse downtown LA. And there would be like things to go over, accounting, or just like the, you know, things like this always have a bunch of court hearings. And we would go to every court hearing. And I remember going to Kinko's to like get one of my Free Britney signs like made. And the guy was like, oh, all right. Yeah. Britney, does she really need help? Like, she's rich. And I was like, well, she doesn't have access to literally any of that money that she makes. Did you know that? And he was like, oh, okay. I guess that sucks. So, yeah, I was kind of trying to get people to care and be interested. And also know that, there's a lot of people who are in conservatorships and in these situations who aren't Britney, who don't have the kind of attention that she has. And we were trying to like shine a light on that as well. Because a lot of older people get put into these and get taken advantage of and stuff. And,
severe. They're people with dementia and people who are like really mentally incapacitated, and they're very restrictive, as you know better than anyone. They're just like these really hard to break out of.
Yeah, your whole personhood is taken away.
And you're often under a gag order of some sort, right? Like, you're not allowed to discuss or to speak about it. Usually.
That's not really a part of it that I know of. I think she was, because she basically was pressured by her father to be like, he held her kids over her as like a, you know, kind of a bargaining chip, basically.
Right.
Damn.
So, yeah, he would use a lot of coercive control with her children and stuff to keep her in line.
Was it scary? Were you intimidated in the middle of this as this is getting huge and you're just like, I don't even know the legalese of this? Yes, yeah. Tess is an investigative journalist, but like, this was a funny podcast and now we're at the forefront of this like massive fucking thing. Was that scary in real time or exciting or just both?
It was like all the things. I mean, it was terrifying. You know, we were like thrust into this huge thing overnight, pretty much. And yeah, we're not fucking lawyers or, you know, we don't know what the hell we're doing. So it was really scary. And we had a lot of pressure from coming at us from all angles of kind of being like the leaders of this movement that we weren't totally intending to be.
I had no idea you were behind it. And look at this. Look, you ready? Here we go. Listen. That's me wearing a Free Britney.
That's amazing.
Tank top on my post in 2021, I think. Wow.
That's how massive this was. You penetrated the jujitsu bubble.
Wow.
That's nothing
gets in there. You don't find that a lot. I remember reading about it and being like, yeah, this is fucked up. I remember reading the articles about it.
It was like it was everywhere. Like it was like fully a cultural moment. Yeah.
Yeah. As quickly as you were, as it was like spreading and blowing up, was there like a negative side to that that was blowing up? Were you getting like the shit bags of the internet coming out?
What do you think? No, it was all great. It was fucking
everything was cool.
Loved every minute of it.
Oh, that's awesome. What a cool story. Thanks for joining us.
I mean, I had everybody to was really formally nice. Ask.
Cool. Cool. That's how we found the internet to be too.
Oh no. It was I literally have just started to get over like the PTSD and shit that I experienced from it. It was really bad personally.
You said that you're just like, I guess I'm ready to talk about it a little bit. So we do appreciate you doing, but
it's good to talk about it. Right. Cause when you're in the bubble of it, it was really like, when I was in it, that was my whole world. You have to, for 3 years, basically, all we did was research Britney's thing, go to court hearings, like talk about her. And the thing is, we were in, obviously I'm a fan of her, but the huge stands are like at a different level. Like they,
right.
All they think about is Britney Spears, you know? And so we were in their world, and that's kind of, it's a very, you know, it was just a lot of intense people, and there were people accusing us of just being in it for the money. And then, you know, there's all this shit, which is just insane. I mean, we never put any ads on Britney's gram once, not even on the Free Britney episode that got, you know, millions of downloads or whatever. So we were just having people coming at us from all angles, you know, and so it was really difficult. And then some of them were trying to accuse us of being on the side of like her dad, just like people would throw the people were. You know, there were so many conspiracies about what was going on with her that eventually we were also a conspiracy.
Oh, God, I love that when the snake starts eating its own tail.
Yeah,
it's so
that's really fun. Yeah. And so it was really maddening because like, I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this, but just when someone's like telling lies about you, it's really fucks you up in the head because you're like, that's not true, but people think it is. And no matter what you say to defend yourself, they use that against you. It just kind of is this like sick cycle. So that definitely happened a lot. I mean, we had, it's so complicated, but we had some people who were stalking us and they had our phone numbers. We had to change our phone numbers, stuff like that. So it got really bad.
Oh my God.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. It was not fun. And then
there
was a lot of stuff.
There's also millions of dollars involved here. You're fucking with a lot of people's money who are
totally
riding the Britney machine. And you're like, this is wrong. And now people are like, I'm going to lose $15 million a year if you get me out of it. So that's a dangerous situation.
Totally. Yeah, they had like, apparently they had the security company that they hired, like had dossiers on all of us and stuff.
Oh my God. That's crazy. Wouldn't you love to see your dossier?
Awesome.
I want to see it so bad. I'm like, what pick did they choose?
Katie, my wife, told me that, and I think she read this in the Britney's book, so I don't know if you were aware of it in real time, that while Britney was at this like mental facility and you guys put out the pink Free Britney stuff, it was exploded. And she said that Britney wrote in her book about some nurse kind of pulling her aside and saying like, look at what's going on for you. And that she sort of said that gave her, I guess my wife told me she talked a lot about being ashamed that she was in this conservatorship and that she felt stupid for being in it. And like that showed her that like, oh no, people care about you and like think that this is fucked up as well. And sort of helped her to be like, okay, well then I'm going to pursue this a little bit more. Did you know of that? Did that ever get back to you where you're like, oh shit, like this person who we're trying to help is aware of it?
Yeah, I didn't know about the nurse until the book. We definitely knew that she was aware of what was happening and like we knew that. And she did end up getting out of the facility because of all of it, you know, which was huge because we felt like she was like her life was at risk in there. I mean, it seemed really bad, especially when she talked about the facility afterwards. She said that she was just like, I don't know, felt like she was in, what do they call it? Like solitary confinement almost. I'm sure it wasn't like that extreme as a prison, but
it's a type of segregation where they, because she's probably so, she's also such a high profile person. I doubt you would, you know, there'd be a ton of interest of letting her roll around and
totally
like in population with other people, you know?
Yeah. So I think
she couldn't have caffeine. She couldn't have,
she had to have permission for her boyfriend to come over. Like she had to ask her dad as a grown adult, you know.
She was very much imprisoned.
Yeah, it was really bad. So that happened, and then when the New York Times documentary on Hulu came out, that was like I can't remember, but a little over a year after the podcast, that was the next move, and that's when the public really like got it, I think, you know. And so that was like a really big help and a boon, I think, to like make it legitimize the movement basically and show everybody like, no, this is real. And what she's going through is fucked up. And look how much money her dad makes off of being her conservator.
Did the backlash towards you both change once people saw the legitimacy, or did it still bring a lot of the kind
no,
of
no, it got worse.
Oh, fuck. As it does.
Yeah. No.
And is it just nuts on the internet who are like, have wild theories, or like, why would people be mad at this other than like the people that are in her father's camp? And that's the real threat, because that's actually the people that stand to lose.
I don't know.
The sort of strange hate, the blanket hate that was coming your way off the internet or whatever. Like, what was even the crux? What were they mad about? Just wild?
Like I said, like a lot of it was just fake. It was not real. So it was like just them. Okay. They would like just dissect everything we did. And if they didn't like something, it would be like, you're on her father's side or stuff like that, you know? So
just the poison of the internet.
Yeah, it was just generic, like
weaponized
everyone
against you.
Tries to like find a problem and everything type of stuff.
So
we were also getting fucked over in another way, like because we were like, oh, we should make a documentary. That's the only way, and we'll give a fuck. And then we paired up with these people and they totally fucked us over. So that was also happening. And not the people who made the Hulu one. That's the one that we were in. Yeah, yeah. Right. So that was like, we were also dealing with like trying to make a thing to make people give a shit about it and like getting fucked over like in the business. And it was like a slow motion train wreck.
And COVID's also happening.
Yeah, and it was COVID.
Yeah.
And I was working a full-time job also. So it was, it was crazy. I think that really helped. And then, and then seems like she finally was able to get her own lawyer, because as a part of the conservatorship, they said she was not mentally fit enough to choose her own lawyer, which is insane.
Fucking insane.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, wow. so the court assigns you one, but the thing is, this lawyer makes money if you're in the conservatorship. So it's not in their best interest to get you out of it. This guy made so much money, you know, and so finally she's able to get her own lawyer.
So fucked up.
Yeah. And he's the one who, you know, actually put everything in motion to get her out.
And if I'm correct, in the court documents, the wording had said that it wasn't actually a conservatorship anymore. We're like basically in so many words saying we're building a new type of corporation.
Yeah, they were like, this should be looked at as more of a business model.
Exactly.
Like, what?
And it's like where Britney is in essence the battery powering 100%. All of this.
Dude, Britney's dad's lawyer was like his spiritual advisor and shit. It was just like this incestuous, horrible thing that Bab knows all about. But no, okay, so that is amazing, and I appreciate you filling all of our listeners in as well as us. It seems to me you guys lit the spark that created this fire that eventually got Britney out from under the ship, as well as exposing how horribly exploitive these conservatorships are, generally speaking. And now you're through it, and now you're on this dumb podcast. And in my mind, you clearly bettered Britney's world, you and Tess. So how do you feel about that? Like, do you regret it? Are you glad it happened? It clearly taxed you and weighed on you.
Yeah, 3 years.
Yeah, three years of like insane work. Because we also made a podcast called Toxic, the Britney Spears story, as well after, like kind of during everything. And that was like an insane amount of work too. So it was crazy.
I find your efforts heroic. They fell into your lap. I don't think you intended to do them. I think this was a heroic thing. And I think a lot of people would say that, but it's not that fucking black and white. You're like, careful. You were telling us before the podcast.
Oh yeah.
So,
yeah.
So what are your thoughts?
Yeah.
On it now?
I mean, I'm glad I did it. Like we couldn't have not done it. You know, it was just something presented to us. It was like, we have to do this. There's just no, the way that everything lined up, the fact that we were paying so close attention to what was happening with her in the way that we were, and everything happened with her, you know, that weird announcement and like her being in the facility. I don't know if she would be out of it. Like just the timeline of how everything lined up, it was so specific, and somehow we were picked by the universe to be the people that did it, you know? And so I'm glad that we did it. I mean, it was personally extremely difficult, and I've been trying to make a joke out of this on stage. By the way, not an easy topic to do comedy about.
More of a one person show, Babs.
But like I kind of gave myself college rules during like the last year of it, where I was like, I can eat and drink anything I want. I just need to get through this. Like, and so I just, you know, but I gained all this weight and now I'm trying to lose it. And I'm just like, fuck you, Jamie Spears. Like, I just blame her dad now for gaining weight. but, you know, it's so personally, yeah, it took a big toll. Like, I did have a lot of trauma around like the internet and the trolls and just those people, and even talking about it freaked me out because I was afraid of them picking apart my words and stuff like that. But I would definitely do it again. I mean, it was, you know, I think hugely important, obviously, for her. And I think, yeah, again, to shine a light on other conservatorships. And it did change some laws in California, at least, about conservatorships.
I mean, that's crazy. Can I ask you the question that I think a lot of people are wondering? Did Brittany reach out? Did you meet her? Did you get to talk?
We didn't meet her. She did reach out like indirectly and said thank you. So yeah, we did hear from her.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
How did that feel? I mean, was that
it
like,
felt good? Well, it's hard to. It was under like an account where we were like, we're pretty sure this is her, and it's like a dummy account that she has, but like I can 1000% say it is, so I don't want to, you know, I'm like, this could just be some weirdo who's faking being her. I don't know. A lot of people do that, by the way. Lots of fake Britneys out there. So that's why I'm like, I think she did, but I'm not, you know, I'm not sure. So.
But did that matter to you? Did you want that like direct connection?
I did, but I didn't really care that much. Like, it was like I knew she was grateful, and like it didn't, that wasn't like the I don't know, end result I like needed, I guess.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
Can I ask a question? I was talking to Ben and Andrew and Ron about this before you came on, and I don't want to get too grandiose with it, but I've been thinking about it a lot. And it feels to me like with Britney Spears and us growing up with Britney Spears and seeing her as this like, young Mickey Mouse Club pop star all the way through this wild ride, she was always, and we consider ourselves sensitive, good people, but she was always a punchline for me.
Yeah.
Always. And I think most of our generation was like, yeah, it's whatever, the pop, MTV pop star. And then through all this, we saw this very real suffering and mental illness and almost enslavement. And we're like, holy shit, this is what's going on with Britney Spears. So it's almost just like it's like this cultural moment in my mind where people stopped treating her or the celebrity as two-dimensional and started seeing the celebrity as three-dimensional and having serious fucking issues, and that we're all sort of like, no one didn't make a Britney joke growing up. You know what I mean? It's just like, so, and even you guys started the podcast sort of tongue in cheek, like, look at the silly Instagram. And then you very much saw the realness of it in this whole fleshed out situation. I think that's going to change the way we look at celebrities from here on out. Like, I think there'll be, if there's this horrible moment like there was when she shaved her head and everyone thought she's going nuts back in the day, and we probably just laughed it off with late night jokes. Now you're like, no, there's very real shit going on here. Like, is this person okay? And I think that was the Britney Spears experience for society.
Definitely. That was the biggest thing, kind of researching all of it and really going back then, is just looking at how vilified she was and how much shit she was put through. And she was just such a sweet, good person. It's like, she's put through so much stuff. She's never been arrested. She's never hurt anyone, you know, and there's people out there like, you know, fucking Charlie Sheen and people who have done, I think, a lot more harm, or at least been a lot more shitty than she has, who just like totally skated by. And
I mean, if Rob Schneider is allowed to have his own money, then why the fuck can't Britney Spears have her own money? I mean, that's legitimately like,
it's true. Yeah.
If what are we saying that like wealthy entertainers and athletes, all the ones you're seeing that are in control of their money, they're doing good things with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's just not true. Justin Bieber is just as fucked up, I'm sure, from the tolls of being famous from an early age as Britney.
Right. Well, and I mean, I think, you know, it's hard to, obviously, you know, her Instagram now is like, people are like, oh, I'm worried about her and stuff. And it's not that I'm not. I am. Like, I do. I think that there's some mental health stuff there at play, of course. But the problem is that they were forcing her to work without having access to her own money. And like that, you're not going to tell me that what she went through didn't exacerbate, you know, her mental health stuff. Like, So that's right. The thing is, yeah. It's like, even if she needed help, you did not help her the correct way. You know, there's a mental health conservatorship you can put someone in. They didn't put her under that one. They put her under the one where you, you know, get to control their money. So it's just, if they were trying to, quote, help her at all, they went about it the wrong way. And I don't think that that was the intention. You know,
I'm going to assume I know the correct answer to this just because of the legality of it. But I'm going to ask anyway, did her dad ever reach out or say anything to you all?
No, I mean, we just had like, we knew after this, so there was a second New York Times documentary. And so we knew that they were like keeping an eye on us basically, but we never got reached out to. And that was the thing, is we were like, well, they're not suing us because they would have to prove that the stuff we're saying is wrong, and they can't do that. So
yeah. And that's, wow.
Yeah. Nice. I mean, that's a win.
Yeah.
Looking back now, in hindsight, now that you look back at all of this, did you, when you started that initial, like, looking into it, did you ever think it would get to be years and as massive a social movement as it was?
No. I even now, I don't understand. Like, I'll be in the grocery store and I'll hear, like, hit me, baby. And I'm like, oh, yeah. That's, like, so fucking weird.
It's, like, zeitgeist. Yeah. It's everywhere. Yeah.
It's bizarre. Yeah. No, I mean, not in a million years. You know, we thought we were just doing some stupid one-off podcast thing about her Instagram memes.
I know. That's
do you think Slave For You is a hidden message?
Oh yeah, actually a lot of her songs have like are kind of, you can find the hidden messages if you want, you know.
Well, I do want.
I have a question for Adam and Ben. Taking a cue from Babs' heroic intervention, ooh, who's a troubled celebrity that you would intervene on behalf of?
I think Babs is saying it's a loaded experience, Andrew.
Yeah, so get ready. Get ready to be doxxed.
I know. It's going to be 3 years of your life on this. It's going to fuck you up. I'm going with Jared Leto. putting him into a conservatorship where he can no longer act and be
one of the most horrible human beings in Hollywood, apparently.
Yeah, okay. I'm giving him some time out. It's an imprison Leto movement.
Oh, you want an imprison Jared Leto?
Yeah, this intervention is going the other way. We're going to
that's not the message of the podcast, though, Andrew. And I don't think that's what Babs was doing, was trying to imprison
anybody. I just said you had to intervene on their behalf.
All right. Adam, do you have one?
I think I'd intervene on Andrew's behalf. He's a C-list celebrity. We've been keeping him and taking his money, and I think it's time we stop. That's what
I mean. No, I have one for sure. Mine would be Melania Trump, for real,
dude.
Oh,
I mean, I think there have been several points where she has expressed an extreme dissatisfaction with what her life has become. And some sort of social movement saying it's okay to step away from this and imagine the information.
Oh, that would be amazing.
That
please.
Melania has. But talk about a years long and the trollest of
talk
trolls.
Talk about getting jocks. Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Well, if anybody can handle it, Ben, it's you.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm not sensitive. Yeah,
you've got the psychological profile for it. So.
I think I would, but I'd be curious as to, because, strictly, like I said, because of things that she has alluded to that she was not.
No, I've heard things like that as well.
Well, she said that she, like, there's been rumors from, like, in news sources that she was not for him running for president, did not want that kind of public. And she's been one of the more reclusive first ladies.
Yeah, that's true.
In history. I would just be curious. I mean, I'm sure. Do you imagine how terrifying that is? Like, to try, not only did he have organized crime ties, but now he's at the highest levels of government. I can't imagine. Yeah, like,
all right, we'll start that pod and we'll start the Dangerfield pod. This has been very helpful.
Free Melania.
We've got two gold lines.
Babs, would you do it again if you had the opportunity to do it again for like a different celebrity? Would you do it again?
Dipshit.
For a different celebrity?
Yeah, different celebrity.
Oh, cool question. Never mind. You're not a dipshit.
You know what? I would do it for French Stewart. He's my He's my guy.
Nice. Is French Stewart being held hostage?
Amazing.
He's not, but I just love him.
Let's get over to French's Instagram. French, you've got somebody watching your back.
What do you think? Awesome. I mean, like, again, this fell into your lap. You weren't, like, setting out to crusade for Britney. It just sort of happened for you. But if you, if someone out there, and it's probably impossible to have a comparable situation, but, like, if someone out there perceives suffering from someone else, and or that someone else is in a shitty situation, and perhaps they should intervene because they're seeing something or thinking about something, what advice would you sort of give to that person? Obviously, like, buyer beware, you don't know what you're getting into, but, like, there is sort of a, okay, this is presumptuous of me, but I feel obligated to look further into this because something's radar is going off in my head. What advice would you give to that person?
Oh boy, it's tough because we were in such a specific situation. I think all I can say is, like, the facts are your friend, you know, that's what we tried to do really after, because so much of what we had was conjecture and just, like, guessing before it started becoming serious. And then we were like, all we want to do is get the facts across to people because that's what's going to change people's minds, you know, and even though there was a lot of conspiracy, like, just because it was a big internet thing. So, yeah, I think do your research, like, get your facts together, that the kinds of things you know are going to impact what people think, like, have your bullet points down and get a buddy to be in it with you. Because if I had not had tests, there's no way I would have survived this. Like, we were the only people that kept each other afloat.
Are you two, like, crazy close still?
Yeah. I mean, we're like war buddies. Like, we went through hell and back, you know?
like, is there a, you can always look to her and know, like, you've been through what I did.
Yeah. Nobody will ever understand. Like, we get it. So if you can find a community or find other people who are into it, I'd definitely do that, because it's going to be a really, you know, it's so hard. You need somebody to be there with, and just to laugh about how absurd it is. I mean, there's so many moments where we look at each other and be like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, what is this?
Totally. You know? I can't. That's actually really good advice. Because also you could be like, Am I nuts in thinking this?
Yeah, you need someone to bounce stuff off of, for sure. Yeah.
Well, shit, Babs, this was so interesting.
I'm wondering, do you think it's important for us as human beings to do that, to sacrifice ourselves for other people?
That's such an intense question.
It's a real question.
So intense.
It's super intense.
I don't think it is. I think it's stupid.
To a point, yeah. I mean, you obviously can't lose yourself, you know. You have to. There were times when I think that I was like, I have to quit this. Like, this is too much, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I kept going. But obviously, like, you have to look out for yourself as well. So,
yeah.
Yes, but, you know, use your own mask first or whatever.
I want to change my answer. I want to free Babs from this. Hashtag free Babs.
Free Babs.
We're going to work.
It's okay. I'm doing better.
No, just wait.
And the shirt is Babs wearing a free Britney shirt. It's like a mirror on a mirror.
We're going to have free Babs shirts, and three middle-aged white dudes are going to come to your rescue. We're going to free you. We're going to do a podcast about your podcast.
Thank you so much.
Where we look for clues, because I think, and
I don't think
Babs
can get out of that podcast.
I think Tess is holding Babs hostage and has
been. Oh my God.
And it's,
this goes all the way
to the top.
No, I want to say one thing. We've done hundreds of episodes where we better the world, undeniably everyone. We're just experts in bettering the world. And we can officially say that you have done it as well. And we're all proud to know you, because this is very cool shit.
I really appreciate
it. So thanks for talking about it on our
podcast.
You
did. You truly rearranged and reorganized the way in which culturally we look at things like this, because I do not believe 30 years ago this would have happened.
No.
I think people would have been like, that's a crazy woman. Of course you have to control her money, you know, and control her.
Yeah. And also the tool of the internet being able to spread your message without relying on, you know, news outlets picking it up, shit like that.
You definitely did.
While funneling hatred back at
you. Yeah,
exactly.
But you put yourself and your well-being at risk to help another human being, and you probably helped save somebody, and you can put that on your list of life's accomplishments. accomplishments. Yeah. You're an awesome person. Well,
in terms of other accomplishments, can you tell our listeners where they can find you, what they should be doing to know more about you?
Yeah, definitely everything I do is as important as Free Britney. So check out for sure. All of my stuff. Yeah, I have a podcast called Lady to Lady that Tess is a part of. And it's me and, you know, other female comics being funny every week. And I know you guys are big fans of that and listen to that all the time.
Every week.
And
absolutely. I have listened to it numerous times.
And then
that's not even a lie.
Thank you.
It's nice to not have to lie. Thank you. I've listened to your podcast. Lying. Nice to not have to lie.
And yeah, what the fuck else? I don't know. I do other stuff.
What about your socials?
Yeah. Follow me on Instagram at Babs_Gray. And I mean, I don't even tweet anymore or X or whatever the fuck. So just follow me on Instagram. That's the best place to find me and when I'm doing shows and all that stuff.
Well, thanks again for doing this.
Babs, do you have a stand-up clip or something we could play? And do you have something?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, then let's do this. Why don't we listen to some live stand-up comedy, some stand-up comedy from our guest here, Babs Gray. Thank you, Babs. You're the freaking best. Third actors, those of you that sat and waited with this episode on mute because you're like, I only come for the third act. I only come for the
third actors only listen to the third act.
They only listen to the third act. They're crazy. They want to hear the credits.
They're here for the plugs.
The plugs. but you are up. We've got more show coming. We've got good news, and we'll likely tease next episode's challenge. Who knows? I don't know. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we don't. But stay tuned.
I think I just want to be in a relationship so I have an excuse to do what I'm already doing. Because I don't know if you guys know this, but if you like watch 10 hours of Netflix, then eat a bunch of pizza, then have an orgasm by yourself, you're depressed. But if someone else is there, you're in love. What? Like, shit, life hack, find a soulmate, right? Guys, remember that BuzzFeed list? Got a lot of BuzzFeed lists tonight. BuzzFeed won't take my lists, guys. I keep sending them like top 10 kangaroo taints you can't miss. I think it's because I'm only sending them animal taints. Do you think that's... I'll talk to Mr. BuzzFeed about it. It's fun. He's cool. He's a good dude. Is there any single people here? Anybody? Why? My voice sounded so sad. this has been said 10,000 times into a microphone. Who cares? If there's any single guys here with beards, I do have a hotel room, so I would like to lure all of you back to my room and make a rat king out of your beards, if that's fine with you. Whoever extracts themselves first will become my betrothed. I have been dating. I don't wear a lot of makeup because I don't date men who make enough money to earn a better version of my face. This guy's very offended. I'm just saying, just make like 10K more a year and then I'll contour. That's all, you know? I'm not asking for much. Shit's expensive. I was thinking about what face I would contour onto my face, because you can do anything these days with makeup, you guys. I think I would do Nicolas Cage. Because, you know, then at the end of the night, when I'm washing it, I can be like, face off. That'll just be for me. Okay.
We are back. It is the third act. My God, third actors, I know you do not like hearing about what transpired. You're not tuning in for that, but that was one of the more fascinating episodes we've ever had.
I mean, that was incredible. Wild. And when you know the detail, Adam, you were saying like at one point, like there was like the dad would and the family would vet boyfriends for Britney Spears.
Yeah, Katie knows all about this saga. Katie's a Britney fan, and she was telling me all about this stuff. Yeah, the dad would have to vet boyfriends. They would present the boyfriends with like dossiers about Britney's romantic pasts and stuff like that. It's just very horrible, strange shit. And I'm just very impressed with Babs and Tess for doing everything that they did. That was fucking
fuck
wild.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was so good. What a great episode.
Which brings us to our good news, yes. Ben, doesn't
yes, it?
It
does. Our new segment, finally, some good fucking news. And we have it. Adam, why don't you announce it? Go ahead.
We are just delighted at the Grolic Saves the World to present our first ever GSTW award for actually saving the world to Babs Gray. She is someone who did it. She's someone who bettered that world out there. Hooray, hooray,
put
hooray. You're the first
the
recipient
line.
Of
yep. yeah.
our award, the Grolic Saves the World Savers Award, brought to you by Savers Discount Secondhand Store.
Unfortunately, Adam, I just checked and Savers Secondhand Store doesn't exist anymore. It's out of business. How about a Sam Goody gift certificate?
One
$25 to
a music fan.
Sam $25 Goody.
Bucks to Sam
yeah,
Goody.
Yeah, guys, I hate to tell you that. That's actually not a thing anymore either.
Oh my
Goody
god,
Goody is gone.
We should have thought about this before we.
So
gave the award
what
out.
I'm offering, Babs, is $25 to King Soopers grocery stores,
okay. local King, grocery
local
chain,
grocery store chain,
and you yeah. can use my loyal customer discount code, my little booper boop thing to.
And if you forget the booper at home, Ben, you can just
you
punch
can
in
punch
your
in my phone number. It's actually
well.
My ex-wife's phone number.
She was always the responsible one.
Yeah, she was.
So Babs, as the recipient of our first ever Grolic Saves the World Savers Award, you can accompany Ben on a shopping trip to King Soopers in Denver, and Ben and the Grolic will pay for $25 worth of groceries, and Ben will punch in his discount code. So that's
my ex-wife's
honestly probably
discount
like 30
code.
To 35.
I want to make
his ex-wife's
my
discount
ex-wife's
code.
Discount code.
So that's probably $30 to $35 worth of groceries.
It could be. Wow. Depends on the item. If you're looking for yellow tags,
it depends on your keen eye for deals.
Yeah, if
too.
You're if it
well, we can go over the coupons together with you, Babs, before we even go
saying,
on the
look
trip.
For the yellow tags. That's all I'm saying. If you look for the yellow tags, you're going to get the most bang for your buck out of that Savers deal. So,
congratulations, Babs. You are the first
one
ever.
Wow.
You did it.
Wow.
All right.
I'd love to ask her again now that she knows she won that. I bet her answer changes as to whether or not she'd do it again.
I mean, there's no limit to the amount of these awards you can get. You want to go to King Soopers and spend $100 on the Grolic dime? Better the world four times. Done.
Yeah, exactly. And let that be a sort of call to duty to anyone out there. If you really feel motivated to put some good in the world, think about the groceries windfall you could get from getting the Grolic Saves the World Savers
Call
Award.
To duty.
Yeah, call to duty, our new game, the Grolic's at
a new
home
off-brand
game.
Video game that we're working on.
Andrew, how is your voice today?
Oh,
how's it feeling?
Oh, shit, it's time. Plugs, 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 plugs,
who's
plugs,
deep
plugs, plugs.
Tonight.
Yeah,
it is
very
deep
today.
Who's got plugs? I can't see anything.
I'll
right
start.
Now,
I've got April 25th. I'll be headlining the Bierstadt Lagerhaus. You might think, oh, you're traveling to Germany? No, it's in downtown Denver. come on down to Rhino and Denver to the Bierstadt Lagerhaus. I'll be closing it out.
Bierstadt Lagerhaus. Yeah, you'd be down there. Go see Andrew Orfeldahl.
A great time.
That flows. That flows really well.
That was good, Ben.
If you're here in town in Denver on 418, I will be doing a show at IDK Studios, which is super fun little place. Only 60 seats. It is tiny.
Great spot.
Just working on some newer stuff. And it's a great lineup. So please get your tickets now and come on down to see me.
And listen, I've been adding lots of out-of-town dates. All of them are at adamcatonholland.com. But first up, Minneapolis, June 7th and 8th at Sisyphus Brewing. Brewing, I say. And that's how I say it, and I stand by it. So if you're in Minneapolis, come on out to Sisyphus Brewing and see me do my jokes.
See me jokering.
See me
Sisyphus
jokering.
Sisyphus Brewery. And,
Sisyphus Brewing in Minneapolis.
As always, the last Saturday of every month, you can check out the Grolic's live show. That will be on Saturday, April 27th. And what an amazing lineup. We have Deb DiGiovanni.
This one is a banger. Yeah. Deborah DiGiovanni, one of the funniest people I've ever met in my life. Been to the Grolic's once before. She's coming back. You're going to want to get tickets for that. It's going to sell out. Deborah is so funny.
Oh, yeah.
As always, tickets are on sale. You can get tickets for that show as well as all the other ones we mentioned in the show notes below. As always, a big thanks to producer Ronnie D, Ron Doyle, producer Ron, for making this show happen. Big shout out to Mike Henderson for all of your help recording at our live show. Theme music brought to you by the incomparable Charlie Continental. You can always follow us on social media everywhere at Grolix Comedy. And don't forget to support us and get ad-free episodes and all kinds of other perks on our Patreon page, patreon.com/Grolix Saves. And wow, next episode, wow. You know what I mean? I'm excited.
Yeah, it's like, why do we even do this? It's like, we never know what the fucking next episode's going to be. We've got several banks.
Well, here's the thing.
Maybe we'll do another one.
Why do we plug that the episode now is going to be so good when we know that the next one is going to be so much better? And that's always how it is.
I like
Every episode improves. I think that that's been...
I just wonder if anyone who's listened to this entire thing at the end of the episode is like, I wonder if I'll listen to it next week. And then we can say, well, guess what? Next week is this. And they're like, oh, baby, I'm in. I feel like we've either got them or we don't. You know what I mean, you guys? It's like, you either like this show or you don't fucking like it.
Adam.
So we'll be back next week.
I don't think you should be so standoffish about this. I don't think it's that weird to tease the next episode, but you've taken a very hard...
We will be back next episode with Rodney Dangerfield. A huge get.
Wow.
For the Danger Cast.
Danger Cast. You are not
going to want to miss this one.
The Dangerfield.
I hate to tell... Everybody out there is terrified they're going to get an episode of the Danger Cast at some point.
We'll have more names. I'm thinking Highway to the Dangerfield just came to my head. That'd be good for the
podcast. Oh, my God. Highway to the Dangerfield is good. And you know how they'd end that podcast. They'd say, hey, play us out, Charlie. No respect here.
Oh, I hate you so much.